Focus. This week, we continue in our latest Refocus teaching series with Pastor Ray speaking on community fashioned for family. Now here is Pastor Ray.
It always helps when you turn the microphone on. Don't try this at home. I'm a professional. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you that are here. Good morning to you that are with us online. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn in the Bible, God's Word. This is the sole source of our truth, and it should be the first source for our information. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, I would invite you to open it up to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to base camp in verses 42 through 47. Now, we're going to use a lot of different scriptures today, but primarily this is the one that I want you to look at and to get into your head. And let me start with the truth. This is the truth that we all need to hear and embrace if we're going to be authentic disciples. If we're going to get back to the basics of discipleship, this is one of the things that we have to know, that God fashioned us for family. God fashioned you for family, His family. And it grieves Him when human togetherness is thwarted by relational isolation. It grieves God when human connectedness, human community is thwarted by relational isolation. And we find that at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. It's the first time that we see God doesn't like something in His otherwise good creation. Remember when He created the world and everything in it? He said, this is good, and this is good. But then we come to Genesis 2:18, and God says this, "It is not good. It is not good for the man to be alone." So the first thing that God hates is someone in His family to be in isolation from community. Now, creation calls us to community. Sin calls us to isolation, and it's a big deal. It's a big problem. Now, in reality, the Bible, the entire Bible, is the story of God fashioning a family that will last from here to eternity. He started with the first human family, Adam and Eve and their children, and then we see the nations that begin to arise out of them, and then we see that God has to start over with Noah and his family, and from Noah down the line comes Abraham, and out of Abraham comes the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. And God was modeling through Israel for the rest of the world what family was to look like, family, spiritual community. And then in the New Testament, Jesus introduces the new covenant, and we find the new community, which is us, the church. And God is modeling for the world what community is to look like through the body of Christ. Right. And the first thing that God wants from you and from me is for us to know Him and love Him. God wants us to love Him, and then He wants us to love His other children. We are to love God, and then we are to love His other children. As 1 Peter 2:17 says, love your spiritual family. Love your spiritual family. And that really is what Jesus was talking about. In fact, this was our memory verse for this week, and that is Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, if you've been in this program with us, the Project 52, where Jesus said, look, the very first thing that you need to take care of is loving God wholeheartedly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And He says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then He goes on to say that everything hinges on that. All of the law, all of the prophets, all of the Bible is dependent on us loving God and loving one another. That is just basic to discipleship. That's just basic to discipleship. So why is that the case? Why is community such a vital part of discipleship? Discipleship really is walking with Jesus so that we're looking more and more and more like Him. So why is this so vital to discipleship? Well, for starters, loving your family makes you like God. Let me say that again. Loving your family, loving your spiritual family, loving your spiritual community makes you like God. You see, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell in loving relationship within the eternal Trinity. And serving and loving and enjoying each other is just what they do. So when we do that, we're like God, right? We're like God. You know, parents want their children to understand that, don't they? When Lynn and I were raising our two daughters, we just absolutely loved it when they loved each other. We love it today when we see them as adults and now with their husbands in community with one another, loving each other. It just thrills our hearts. And now we have these grandkids. I don't know that I've ever told you about my grandkids. But we absolutely love watching them love one another, loving their family, their tribe. You know, our middle grandson, Nathan, is just a cool kid. He is quirky, but he's so fun. He is so energetic and just an amazing kid. He will turn 5 next month, and so he is fond of telling me that he is now 4 3/4. But who's counting? But Nathan is not the most affectionate of kids. He's very loving, but he's not very affectionate. He doesn't hug, he doesn't kiss. But his little brother, Daniel, came along, who's now 11 months old, and Daniel just smothers this baby. I mean, overly smothers this baby with kisses and hugs, and he's just so affectionate with him, and it just thrills his parents' heart, and Lynn and I love watching him learn to love his family. Well, God wants that from his family, too. Not that we smother each other with kisses, that might be a little weird, but he wants us to love our spiritual family. So it makes us like him when we do, when we are in loving community. We are like God. It also reflects on God. It reflects well on God in the eyes of an unbelieving world, the prodigal kids that he's wooing home. Listen to what Jesus said, powerful verse in John 13:35. He said, "Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Everyone will know that you belong to me, that you're my disciples if you love one another. You know, unfortunately, in this day and age, that's not the perception of our world. Now, maybe that's not fair, maybe that's not true, but that's their perception. And we would be wise to understand that perception is reality for people. And so our world right now doesn't see us as very loving, and very loving even with one another. We've got a lot of work to do to restore our loving witness of who Jesus is before the world. Jesus went on to say that when disciples are in the unity of community, the world will know that God has loved us, just like the world will know that God has loved Jesus. The world will know God's love, Jesus' love, God's love for us as we love one another. So our experience of loving community is the ultimate apologetic. It's the final irrefutable argument of God's love. Nothing else is as powerful as that. We can't argue people into a knowledge of God's love. We can't force them into a knowledge of God's love. We can show them what God's love is like. And how do we do that? By loving one another. So that's why it's important. And then finally, think about this. Our earthly family will eventually end. Our earthly family, 100%, unless Jesus comes back before we die, will end. Sometimes, sadly, it ends because of divorce, but at some point, it ends because of death. But our spiritual family is forever. Think about that. Our spiritual family is forever. You're going to spend more time with your spiritual family than with your earthly family. And so God says to learn to love them now in preparation for eternity. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, "I'm writing so that you will know how to live in God's family." And that family is the church. I'm writing so that you will know how to live in the family of God. So the church is not a building, as wonderful as this building is. The church is not an institution. The church is not an activity. It's not that we go to church as an activity or go to church as a building. The church is a family. The church is a family you belong to where love is expressed now and throughout eternity through fellowship. Where love is expressed now and through eternity through fellowship. And so, to get back to the basics of discipleship, we've got to get into intentional community with a few other believers so that we can experience family as God intended it. Now, listen, the large group, the whole church, the corporate church is community as well, but that's a different kind of community. The kind of community that we talk about when we're talking about this is intentional community with a few other believers where you can be up close and personal and share life together with them. Like the first disciples, Acts chapter 2. You can finally look at that, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves, among other things, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. One translation says, to the life together. They were sharing life together. Verse 44 adds, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were sharing their lives. Verse 46 says, daily they broke bread, where? In their homes. And the results of this commitment to community, what were they? Well, look at verses 43 through 47. It tells us that awe came upon them all, every soul. Awe, a sense of awe was upon them. They gave to anyone in need. There were no needs among them. There was generosity, sacrifice. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There was joy in the experience of community. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. And notice what happened. And God added daily to their group. And it's no wonder, that kind of a community, God added daily to their number. Now those are divine blessings. What I just read, awe and generosity and meeting needs and gladness and sincerity and praise and favor and growth. Those are divine blessings that God wants you to enjoy as well. That's not just for the pages of the scripture. God wants you to enjoy those blessings as well. But listen to this. They won't happen. They will not happen if you are in relational isolation in God's family. If you are in relational isolation from God's family, an intentional group of people that you do life together with, that those blessings will not come to you. So there is no denying, friends, no denying that community is basic discipleship. Your experience of community is just a discipleship basic. So what is it then? What is it that God has implanted within and only in the experience of community that makes us so blessable? You know, how do we get under these blessings? What is it about community that allows us to be blessable before God? Well, I want to give you some outcomes of authentic fellowship, several outcomes of authentic fellowship. For starters, fellowship or community, intentional community, calls us to accountability. Now, you think, that doesn't sound a whole lot of fun. It may not be fun, but it's necessary, right? It calls us to accountability. You see, we live in a fiercely independent culture. I think the American culture is more independent than any other culture in the history of the world. We don't like being told what to do. You don't, and I don't. We just don't like being told what to do. We resist authority. But the result of that can be that we can drift into isolation and lose the very thing that we need to govern what we do and what we don't do, to govern and to shape who we are becoming, what we are and what we're becoming. Being accountable is essential for growth. You cannot grow into Christ's likeness without accountability. You will not grow into Christ's character. I want you to listen to three verses from Proverbs chapter 27. The first one is this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend. That's the principle of accountability. Iron sharpening iron in the context of intentional community. Friend sharpening friend. Listen to this verse. An enemy will shower you with kisses. In other words, they will flatter you. They will tell you, you know, what you want to hear. Maybe not what you need to hear. An enemy will shower you with kisses, but a true friend may need to wound you. A true friend may need to wound you. Now, that only happens if you've invited trusted people, a few trusted people, to risk the discomfort of giving you truth spoken in love. You have to invite people and then regularly encourage them to speak truth to you because you need it. You're not going to get it anywhere else. Now, some people will just speak truth to you no matter. A few people will just speak truth even if you don't want to hear it and even if you haven't invited them to. There are just some people that have that spiritual gift, if it's a spiritual gift or not. I don't know. But you have to get people in your life and then invite them, insist that they hold you accountable by speaking the truth for what you think, what you say, and what you do. Yeah, that's right. Then listen to this verse. Verbal rebuke is better than silent love. Verse 5. Verbal rebuke is better than silent love. So scripture is saying that we need friends to hold us accountable and to push us toward growth, even if it hurts. You know, I am distressing for me that I'm seeing people pull away from that very thing in this season that we're in. And the isolation that we've had because of COVID and the pandemic and the shutdown and all of the restrictions hasn't really helped that. We've done what we needed to do, but it's created more isolation than I think what God has intended. And so I have seen people pull away from community and isolate themselves from the body of Christ, both the larger body of Christ and even the small group within the body of Christ, intentional community. And I'm watching them change before my very eyes. I talked to a friend this morning about that, and I've, you know, other friends I've seen that have just, that their personality almost is changing as the influences of what we've been going through have done a number on their minds, and they're not plugged into a group that can bring them back to solid ground. And listen, for people that aren't in relational community, intentional community, I really am worried for. As a pastor, I'm truly, if that's you, I'm truly worried for you. Listen, Paul wrote, submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit, to come under. That's what the word means, to come under, to be accountable to. Submit yourselves to one another. Why? Because you respect Christ. You show your respect and your trust of Christ when you do. You will be out of God's blessing zone if you don't voluntarily become accountable to godly friends. Now listen, I am not telling you to do something that I myself am not willing to do. In fact, my entire adult life, and by the way, I naturally resist accountability like you do as well, but I've come to understand that I've got to have it. It's good medicine for me. And so I've been in a number of small group relationships throughout my adult life. You know, I've told some of you about this before, but one of the most rewarding of those small group, intentional small group experiences for me was the one that I had in my last church in California, about 20 years ago now when it started, and I was there for 8 years, and I was in this group. And I was in an accountability group. We created it for the specific purpose of being accountable. And so I was in this small group with three other men. At the time, I was in my 40s, and they were in their 80s. It was so fun. And each week as we got together, they would ask me the same question that I gave them permission to ask me. They would say to me, look me directly in the eyes, and they would say, how was your moral purity this week? Wow, you try that with people. How was your moral purity this week, internally and externally? And I could be completely honest with them since I knew that they cared for me. They cared for me. I knew that they were confidential. They weren't going to run out and tell everybody else what the pastor had said. And being in their 80s, they also knew that they couldn't remember what I had said anyway the next week. So it was just perfectly a great place for me. I'm kidding. They cared for me and they were confidential. Accountability. I desperately need it, friends. And so do you. So that is one of the values, one of the basics of discipleship that only can happen in intentional small group community. Another outcome of community is that, and this might sound interesting to you, but I'm seeing it more clearly in Scripture than ever before, is that it creates a natural way to evangelize. It's a natural way. It's more natural than going out on the street and preaching to people. It's more natural than knocking on somebody's door and trying to lead them in the four spiritual laws. Nothing wrong with that. It's more effective than a big evangelistic crusade. That the kind of evangelism that happens because of small group. In the Acts chapter 2 church, it says that God added to their number daily those who were being saved in verse 47. There's a strong link between the evangelism that happened in verse 47 with the fellowship that happened in verses 42 through 45 or 46. There's a strong link. I'm convinced that the Acts 2 church grew so rapidly because outsiders looking in were drawn in by the joyful, selfless, sacrificial generosity they saw on the inside in the new community, the community of Christ. Believers in community and sinners getting converted are more closely linked than we think. Just mark that down. It's more closely linked than we think. And Jesus said as much. He said it would happen. He said, if you have love one for another, then everyone will know that you're my disciples. It's a compelling, attractive witness to Jesus Christ. That love is most visible and most compelling when unbelievers see it in believers doing the life together. How else will they see it than us in community sharing that love with other believers? Simply through loving each other, we become a conduit for people finding Jesus in the most natural way. Believers in community are living, they're the living proof of a loving God to a lost world. Natural way for evangelism. Yet another outcome of community is intimacy. Intimacy. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, arguably, the deepest longing of the human heart is to know and to be known, to be loved and cherished, to be accepted and valued, warts and all. And that's what I mean by intimacy, a place where you can know and be known, where you can belong and you can become. The isolation of our day has produced a plague of loneliness. Even as we are more connected electronically 24/7 than ever before, we're now the most disconnected race in human history. Connecting online isn't the same as connecting in person. It's just not. And the result of that in our nation, not just in the church, but in the nation, is emotional pain and despair. I'm convinced that a lot of the stuff that we saw this past year is the result of the breakdown of community. First in family, and then in group, and then in maybe in larger. It's the breakdown of community that will explain much of the destruction that we saw this past year. And even in today's church, especially the bigger churches, folks can cram into the pews side by side only to leave still untouched, unknown, and unfulfilled. So what we're doing right now isn't the same as an intentional small group community. You're looking at me, you're staring at me like a toad in a hailstorm, blinking every once in a while. You know, we're not interacting. You're going to get up and you're going to leave, and hopefully you'll take a little bit of time in the lobby to fellowship before you go home. But this isn't the same. This is good. We're to come together in the large group to worship and to express our love for God and to hear the teaching of His Word. But this isn't intentional community. We were created to do life together. We weren't created to do life alone. Now listen to this. Adam's fellowship with God was perfect. And yet, it was God who declared that Adam needed real, live, human connectedness. Now you think about that. Adam had God. But God said, it's not enough. You know, we sing, Jesus is all I need. Well, apparently that's not true. You know, I know what we're saying by that, but we need Jesus, we need Christ, and we need Christ's body to be healthy. And the group is the best vaccine for our loss of relational intimacy. I want you to notice how this is at work in Acts chapter 18. If you want to turn over there, Acts chapter 18, and we'll start with verses 24 through 26. It's really the story of a small group. It says, a Jew named Apollos came to Ephesus. He knew the scripture, he knew it well, and he preached about Jesus fervently, but he really only knew of John's baptism. When Priscilla and Aquila, early church leaders, heard him speaking boldly in the synagogue, they invited him into their home, and they explained the way of God more accurately. So thankfully, this wise couple, this gracious couple, invited this guy into their home. They made room for Apollos in their lives, and he submitted to them. He came under their guidance. And as a result, in Apollos, we get the most powerful orator and apologist of the early church. Apollos became a key player in the early church. A small group provides what a corporate experience can't, a place for you to belong and become. That's what intimacy is all about, a place to belong and a place to come. And then here's a final outcome of community, opportunity. Opportunity. That home group of Priscilla and Aquila became, if you will, a laboratory for Apollos to perfect his gifts. And when he was ready to launch into ministry, his ministry had dramatic results. It says, verse 28, look at this. It says, with irrefutable arguments, he proved from Scripture that Jesus is Messiah. This guy that didn't know much about the word but had a passion for it was brought into this small group community, and then he was unleashed, and wow, what a powerful force that he was. And I think the reason why so many people don't develop and don't use their spiritual gifts is because they're only in a corporate setting like this, which is fairly intimidating. You know, to use your gifts when we're gathered like this. You know, no one likes to stand up and say, oh, I've got a word from the Lord. Maybe the prophetic voices do, but, you know, and if I were to call you up here onto the platform like I've done these, most of you would, your faces would turn pale. You would shudder at the fact that I might say, hey, come up and sing a song. Come up and quote a verse. Come up and give your testimony. Come up and bring forth a lesson. But in a small group, you're safe. In a small group, you can practice. And you can stumble. You can sing a song and it would be horrible and they'll still love you. You get up here and sing a song and you're horrible, you won't be invited back up to sing a song again. You can stumble, you can falter, and you will be picked up, you will be encouraged, and you will get better at whatever it is that God is calling you to develop in your life. In groups, we get opportunity to grow in our spiritual gifts. We get opportunity to develop an understanding of God's word. And in our experience of small group, we get to experience God's presence in the most powerful of ways. You're wondering why these people are behind me? Well, this is a small group. And I want you to hear briefly their testimony of what God has done in their little group. Pastor Matt.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. So I'm here today with Marty and Daniel Parker and with Josh Kuhlman. And as Pastor Ray said, this is one of our small groups. We call them Portland communities. And this particular community is one of our house churches. And I'm going to let Marty and Daniel tell you a little bit about their house church. So Marty and Daniel, would you tell us just a bit about how you came to start a house church here at Portland Christian Center?
Yes. I started, after the COVID shutdown, I started feeling very convicted. I think the Bible is very clear that we are not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. And there's a reason for that. Why? It's because we grow in community and also we stay encouraged in community. And I found myself, so I was convicted, but I found myself also longing for fellowship with other believers and missing the body ministry that happens when we're together.
Great job. I think for me, it was just noticing the fear in our culture, and I just wanted to do something to counteract that, and the solution was to create a loving fellowship.
And I believe, Josh, I think you were the first member of the house church, is that right? So Josh, would you tell us a little bit about how you came to start coming to Portland Christian Center and then ended up in this house church?
Well, it was a long journey. It was 3 years ago. I was a hopeless drunk, couldn't stop drinking. I found AA, and I was able to find community. And I did get sober, and thank God for that, but it wasn't enough. And the more I searched, I found God, and I came here because I was, I knew I had to get baptized. I knew I couldn't just do this alone. And when I got baptized, I came here and I talked to you. And I said, now what? And he said, call Marty and Danielle. They have a house church. I've been going there. And it's God's just working in my life now. Wow. And the reason I'm here not sweating or fainting is because of what we've done. We sang together, prayed together. And none of that I'd done. I'd never been to church before. So.
Wow. Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So Josh, you came here to get baptized, and you got baptized. This is over the summer when we weren't meeting in person yet. And so, of course, house church was the option. And tell us a little bit about what discipleship, what learning in Christ has been like in the house church.
Yeah, well, God came into my life pretty powerfully when I gave myself to the Lord. I was in a land of YouTube. I was binge watching sermons and stuff, but I had a lot of questions because there's a lot of confusing stuff out there. And so I knew after I got baptized, I could say anything. I could ask any questions I had, and it wouldn't be silly. It wasn't. I would say, "Oh, I don't know about this or that," and, "Oh, don't worry about it." And it was just a nice thing to rest in my faith and learn what this walk is all about.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Josh, we're really glad that you have come to be a part of the family here at Portland Christian Center, and your kind of. Aquila and Priscilla have really been a blessing to the church as well. Marty and Danielle, tell us maybe just real quickly a couple of your favorite highlights of what's happening in House Church over at you guys' place.
So if I were just to sum up the whole experience in one sentence, it would just be, I literally stand in awe of what God can do if we just cooperate with him. And I have to say, the reason that God is pouring out his spirit on Josh and his life is because Josh has committed himself to truth and lining his heart with truth, aligning his heart with truth. And so it's just, we literally stand in awe. It is sovereign. It is all God.
Awesome. Great comments there. I think for myself, I was just surprised at how, Josh just took like a duck to water and was just transparent with us. And we were able to facilitate his growth in Christ. And that signaled to me that we were doing something right, that we had created a safe place to share.
And Josh, it's true that also through House Church, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Yeah, we can't forget about that part of the whole journey as well.
Yep.
Let's give him a hand.
Yep.
One thing we want to point out to you as a church is really that just as these believers got together, they just started doing life together and talking about Christ week by week. They'd tune in, watch the service on a Sunday morning, and then just kind of see where that would go. And that's really what House Church or community is all about. So thank you. Would you give this House Church a hand? Marty and Daniel Parker, Josh Kuhlman.
Yeah, thanks. Wow. Well, and there you have it. Everything that we've talked about today has been exemplified by these guys opening up their home, opening up their lives, and doing life together. There was accountability. There's accountability. There's intimacy. There's opportunity to grow and to develop. And there's an understanding of God, of God's word, of God's presence, of what God has called you to do. And so thank you guys for sharing that. And I would to God, as the old timers would say, that every one of us would have an experience like this. You need it, and you need to be the conduit of that to others. And so I'm going to ask you today, what are you going to do about this? So today is a day that we're asking you to make a commitment. And so if you want to join a small group community, if you want to start a Portland community, if you want to just find out more about it, then we're going to ask you to go. We're going to have a link on the screen here. We want you to go to PCCtoday/communities, PCCtoday.com/communities, and then just click join a group, and you're going to find all kinds of groups, men's groups, women's groups, youth groups, ministry groups, all kinds of groups that meet both in person and online right now. And so there's no reason not to check this out, and we hope that you will. And again, if you want to start your own group, if you don't like any of the people you see here, but you want to start your own, then do it. Go for it. We will bless that, and you can find your link to do that as well. And then I want to make available to you, this is the fourth Portland Communities Guide that we have produced. This is a daily devotional book that runs for about 8 weeks, and it has these wonderful devotions, and then at the end of that, it has questions that are perfect for your small group discussions. It has ways to apply the Word of God, and together, these Portland communities are doing life together in the Word of God, and it is a powerful, powerful thing. And so, as the early church committed themselves to the life together, to the fellowship, to community, my question to you is, will you do the same? It's in the Word of God. It's there for a reason. It's calling us to something. So will you do what authentic disciples do? Will you commit yourself to the fellowship as well? Let me close by reading this verse to you, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I want to read this from the Common English Bible. It says, they devoted themselves to the community. That's what we have. That's what we call them, community groups. They devoted themselves to community. The contemporary English version says they were like family because they were family. So will you devote yourself to the same? That is God's calling on your life. We've talked about the benefits of it. We've talked about what it calls out of you to do that makes you blessable before God. Will you devote yourself as well to the community? And Jesus said, John 13:35, that when you love one another, your strong love for one another proves to the world your strong love for me. You know, not long after Jesus said this, things got really tough, really bad for the Christians. I mean, for a number of years, there was intense persecution as the Roman world, the other religions of the day, tried to wipe out this upstart religion called Christianity. And they were being persecuted. They were being thrown to the lions. They were sometimes impaled on poles, dipped in tar, impaled on poles, and used as torches to light the city. They were crucified. And in those early days, there was a historian, not a Christian, but a secular historian who wrote this about the disciples. He said, "Behold how they love one another. Behold how they love one another." And that's what God wants Portland Christian Center to be known for. Not for your singing, not for my sermons, not for anything else that we do. He wants us to be known for the love we have for him through the love that we have for one another. And God wants that to be so strong here that people in our community who don't know him yet would say, that must be the family of God, because that's the church where love is. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? And if you've never made a commitment to bring your life under the love of God through faith in Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to do that right now. Maybe you've never done that, and today you're watching this online or you're here in person and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Maybe your heart's beating a little bit faster right now, and that's the Holy Spirit working on you, and he's calling you. He's inviting you into a family, the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so I would just encourage you to make that decision and make that commitment right now. Just surrender your life through faith to Jesus. And God will forgive you of your sins. He will remove the barriers that distance you from him. And he will make you a part of the forever family of God, starting right now, and it will last throughout all eternity. And he will empower you to live the kind of life that is pleasing to him. And then if you've never committed to community, maybe you've known the Lord for a number of years, or maybe you've just come to know him recently and you've not said, you know, I need to be a part of the family of God through intentional small group community. And today might be the day, even right now, that the Lord is speaking to you and saying, make that commitment and take that step to join the intentional community of the family of God. Would you do that in this final prayer as well? So let's pray. Father, I first of all want to pray for anyone and everyone who may be surrendering their lives to you for the first time, or rededicating their lives to you. God, I pray that you would just, through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, walk them through that process where they confess their sins to you, invite you to be Savior and Lord of their lives, and determine with your help to live as a part of the family from this day forward and throughout all eternity. God, would you save souls even in this moment, I pray. And for those, Lord, who are needing to make this commitment to small group intentional community in the family of God, I pray that you would give them the courage to click the link or to make the step to sign up and to get involved or to start a small group community so that we can have small communities throughout this city, Portland Christian Center communities throughout the city of Portland, the greater Portland area, much like the one that we read about with Priscilla and Aquila, the one that we heard about on the stage here today. God, would you just multiply our groups all over this city, I pray. And today, may we take a step of committing our lives to that. So God, we ask you to do all of these things for us, and that as we do, that you would glorify yourself through them. Lord, we pray this and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Listen, if you made a spiritual decision today to surrender your life to the Lord, would you let somebody know, one of our pastors, if you're here or if you're watching online, would you just write in the comments section, just write Jesus, and we'll be able to connect with you. And mostly we want to pray for you and we want to help you with some literature that would get you in a journey of growing in God's word and with other people. So would you all stand, please, as we offer our final blessing. And if you need special prayer here in the sanctuary, come over to our pastors over here. They are waiting to pray with you for whatever need you might have. Or if you have questions, go see these guys. They have all the answers. And if they don't, they'll find someone who does. So may the Lord bless you as you go. And may he bring you into closer fellowship with himself through your fellowship with his people. Go in the love, the grace, and the peace of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to know more about Portland Christian Center, you can visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.